God bless you as you tune in. I'll start off from the book of Mark, chapter 9, verse 14. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioned with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, "What questions ye with them?" And one of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which has a dumb spirit, and wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to the disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not." He answered him and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me." And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straight away the spirit tore him, and he fell on the ground and walloped foaming. And he asked his father, "How long is it ago since this came unto him?" And he said, of a child. And after time, he cast him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. And if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, "If thou believest, all things are possible to him that believeth." And straight away the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief." And when Jesus saw the people coming, came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, "Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him." And the spirit cried and rent him so, and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, "He is dead." And Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come to the house, the disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast him out? And he said unto them, "This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and by fasting." Praise God. So Jesus Christ was explaining that the reason why he could cast out that strong, violent spirit that possessed that child, that young lad who has been possessed from childhood, the reason why Jesus Christ could cast that spirit out is because Jesus Christ himself, had indulged himself in prayers and fasting. So the disciples couldn't do the same thing that Jesus Christ did, because like Jesus Christ says, they have not been praying and fasting. Now, praying and fasting, we are beginning to understand, it's not just denying ourselves food or substance, not denying ourselves water or any material thing. See, but it's more like exercising ourselves in godliness. As usual, what we just read is a parable. So that kind of state in which that child was is a deep state of unbelief that has taken a hold of man in his descent into this world. See that when man put up that new consciousness of the flesh, he's always driven into destruction. He loses all self-control. He loses all power to live that fulfilled life of God. Praise God. So in reality, what the parable is saying is how we can be healed, how we can be delivered. How we can, get back into that place of a peaceful life. Because this is a child that was a lunatic, driven to and fro by this evil spirit, cast into the fire one moment, cast into the water one moment. You know, the child normally fainted, foaming in the mouth, and all, you know, epilepsy and all kind of things. And Jesus Christ says, this kind of spirit comes out by prayers and by fasting. So this talks of the nature of a man that has descended so low, has descended from that high state that is in God. Hallelujah. And God is teaching us today how we can rediscover that stillness, that peace, that perfection that we lost in our descent into mortality. Bear in mind that every problem we have as men is simply because we lost the consciousness of who I am. So we've lost the consciousness of who I am. The I am in this sense is the eternal spirit of God. So it is the spirit of the Lord himself. It is the Lord himself. Somebody says, well, the Lord has a spirit, and the Lord is the spirit, and the spirit is the Lord. And that is the only life that there is. It's a pure spiritual state. The highest form of existence, which is God himself. The only existence that there is. We've heard many, many stories about Adam, many, many parables here and there. But to sum it up in a nutshell, what has happened to all of us as men is that we slipped away from that consciousness of I am. The consciousness of the only life that there is, and we now descended into a lower state. We can call it a state of death, a state of sleep, because the things we live in relation to in this world don't really exist. These things have become gods in our lives, and they have kind of influenced our lives. Many are tossed to and fro. Winds of doctrines, winds of beliefs, emotional problems here and there. Why? Because we started to live with things that are not. Things that are constantly passing away. Things that have no eternal value. Praise God. That's why now the revelation comes again. To restore man back to that true I am. Hallelujah. I am the resurrection. I am the life. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. I am the door. I am that I am. I am your healer. Praise God. I am everything. I am above all. I am exalted above all. This is the identity that we all lost when we descended into this world and started to live as men. Praise God. So the light now shines, and it comes in the revelation of the face of Jesus, giving us understanding once more how to return back. Praise God. How to return back to that I am, who is the beginning and the end, who is the Alpha and the Omega. I am who lives forever. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. All about exercising ourselves once more to speak the language of fire. Exercising ourselves in godliness is exercising ourselves in truth, in spirituality. Exercising ourselves in the mystery of Christ. Praise God. It means living all to follow the Christ. Living all that is in this age to follow Christ in the regeneration. Jesus Christ says, those that have left all and have followed me will inherit eternal life. They will inherit hundredfold, brothers, sisters, brethren, whatever. An eternal life. That is the true life of the I Am. That is immortality. That is light. Unquenchable light. They inherit, they rather rediscover themselves back in the I Am. The brethren, the brothers, the sisters are all in that same one I Am. In that same identity of I Am. It's pure spirit. Praise God. And of course, when Jesus Christ made these statements, lots of people left him. When he says, I am the bread of life, labor not for the things that perish. Labor not for the things that are in this world, but rather labor to rediscover that perfection that you lost in Adam. Labor to have that bread that, you know, lives, that you eat and you will live forever. And what happened? They all left him. Multitudes left him. The gospel is always preached in different ways from age to age, and very few people truly are able to live all to follow Christ in the regeneration. Believing the illusion of the natural life that we have upon the earth to follow Christ in the spirit. Because only as we rediscover that life in the spirit, which is that high consciousness, immaterial consciousness, that consciousness of pure spirit, that we can truly see the joy of our salvation, that we can see the paradise of God. It's a place where no hurts, no pains, no sorrow, nothing of these things can ever enter and defy. Never. It's exalted above all. It is the place of the blessing. It is the realm where darkness no more. You see plainly. It's a realm of perfect stillness. This is the consciousness that Jesus Christ walked in as he walked upon the seas. The waves were rocking and all that, but these waves upon the sea can only affect a man, a mortal man, that lives in relation to this dimension called the world. Jesus Christ was walking in eternity, in another dimension, in another consciousness. It's the consciousness of the spirit of I Am. Praise God. The boats will rock and Jesus will sleep in the boat because he was walking in the consciousness of I Am. So let us not think for one reason that Jesus Christ himself did not have to exercise himself in godliness. Like you and I, he too had to subject the flesh to the spirit. He too had to work out his salvation with fear and trembling. He too had to go into prayers and fasting. Like I said, prayer and fasting is all about exercising yourself in the I Am. exercising yourself to walk once more in that true consciousness that you lost in the beginning. Isaiah 58 says, if you begin to speak my words, not doing your own pleasure, but my pleasure, speaking my words, doing my words, then the light will rise upon you. The darkness will be no more. You will ride upon the high places of the earth. Your soul shall be like a well-watered garden once more. You shall rediscover the realm of paradise, Eden. Praise God. But you must do one thing first, and that is exercise yourself once more in this truth. So your darkness, your light will arise out of obscurity. Your light. See, your light, that is your life. Immortality will arise out of that darkness of your human existence. When you begin to exercise yourself once more in the godliness, in the mystery of I am. It's about speaking it in the mind. So it's about confessing the Christ, confessing this revelation that you have today. Walking in by faith. Exercising yourself within by faith. This is what brings healing. You know the 40 years in the wilderness the children of Israel had to go through? In reality, they were actually learning how to say I am. Your 40 years can be 1 year. Your 40 years can be 2 years. Your 40 years can be 50 years. It all depends on how we allow the Lord, how we submit to the Spirit. See it. How we avail ourselves to the things of God. How we can mix with faith the things that we have heard and exercise ourselves in these things. Praise God. It's vitally important we understand these things in our heart of hearts. The gospel will come in different ways. See, somebody will bring a rose and will preach the gospel to you through a rose. Somebody will bring another way, he will preach the gospel to you in many ways. The gospel comes in different ways, different manners. But it's how we can just steal ourselves and tap from the Spirit. And in reality, everything that you listen to can edify you one way or the other. Everything can edify you. If we are attentive in the Spirit and we discipline ourselves, everything can minister to you. Then we become less judgmental. The problem is that with we men, that we at times we don't mind our business. We want to be judgmental and always trying to find out faults in others. Now, if you keep finding out faults in others and you keep getting irritated with things that other people do, and other people say, and other people preach, you will never find rest. Some people are so self-righteous that they can't even stand a lady walking in with lipstick in her mouth. See, the other day we had a meeting, a revival. And as a brother who traveled from far, he came from far and he came for the meeting, an Italian brother. And after the meeting, he called me aside and told me he wants to tell me something. So I listened to him. You know, and when he called me aside, of course, within me, the Spirit told me to just enter into the covering of the secret place of the Most High. So that he doesn't hit you with anything. And he now, you know what he told me? He just had to give me all the observations he had during the meeting, during the conference. said he noted some sisters were wearing trousers. He noted some sisters had, you know, gold earrings and all that kind of stuff on them. That is not right. It's written in the Bible that you have to be modest. The ladies still have to be modest and all that kind of stuff. And he also told me that he noted some ladies took to the pulpit to say a word or two. He said that it's not allowed in the church of God that a woman should preach. Then he went on and on that it's not, also child of God does not take donation from people and all that kind of stuff. You see, and that was his own, that is his own idea of what Christianity is. And of course, another person will come the other way and give me his own opinion. Another one will come the other way and give me his own opinion. See, people are just judgmental. They go everywhere looking for faults in people. And as long as you do this, you will never find rest. We must be able to enter into a place and love everybody and seek Christ in everything and exercise ourselves to flow in the Spirit of Christ. Very, very important. If not, you will never find rest. Irritation, bitterness, see it. See, we always try to conform people to our image. And it can never be. Praise God. We are all to be conformed to the image of Christ, to the invisible one, not to each other. We don't have to preach like each other. We don't have to, you know, believe basic elementary things like each other. If a sister wears a lipstick or a gold chain or whatever, it does not make any difference to me. Even if a lady walks in with a bikini, whatever, I am ready to preach the gospel to her. I don't give a damn what she does, what she wears, and all that. I believe that if the gospel takes a hold on her, from the inside out, there can be a change. Praise God, there can be a change. Concerning receiving of donations and all that kind of stuff, it is not wrong, neither is it right or anything. There's nothing that is wrong or there's nothing that is right. All you can just do is to be what you are and be led by the Spirit. Now, so people who have entered into this thing have come to the place where they live 100% by the gospel. How do you think they feed and how do you think they clothe? Do they have to go to the mouth of a fish every day to take out money from the mouth of the fish? How do they live? Doesn't Paul say that those that preach the gospel shall live by the gospel? Let us learn to be less judgmental and focus on the things of God. Learn to love one another and bless one another. God does not see anything evil in any man. His eyes are pure and he only sees love. He only sees his soulmate. He does not see any other thing. Let us always exercise ourselves to always see the God and the glory that is in every man. That is the way we can live peaceable lives with one another. Instead of arguments and fightings and all this. This thing will give you your rest and your peace. Of course, at times in the ministry, at times you might give out, you know, a rod. Once in a while. But let us understand. Our peace and our progress in this life will depend on how we can live with each other in harmony and with peace. Not being judgmental. Always being judgmental because you have a message. This one does not have a message. I cannot walk into a church. I cannot fellowship with you. Look, you can go anywhere you want. I am everywhere. I can do anything I want. As long as I keep myself in that incorruptible world. See, people say come out of Babylon, but they don't realize that they are creating for themselves Babylon again. These are the 50s. You remember when Elisha was and Elijah were crossing over the Jordan? There were 50s, prophets of 50s, religious people who were on the other side. All they do is talk and talk and talk and criticize. And to see whether this is, I agree with this doctrine, I don't agree with this doctrine, I agree with this, I don't agree with that. No, no, I don't agree with that. That is all they do. Agreeing or not agreeing. You don't have to stand behind and just be agreeing or agreeing with nobody. Press in like Elijah and Elisha. Press in beyond the veil. Press in beyond the Jordan into eternal life. Praise God. So let us not be judgmental and let us learn to just exercise ourselves in truth. Then peace will come to us. Everything is beautiful. Everything is lovely. When the I ams are working in us. I cannot judge a man by the external appearance. Never. The more I do this, the more I rob myself of my peace and my joy. I will accept people the way they are and love all men. And keep myself in the truth, exercising myself in the revelation that the Lord has given me. Praise God. Hallelujah. So it's very important that we keep ourselves speaking the light, walking in the light. Praise God. Keeping ourselves in that pure consciousness. Abstaining from the world, the lusts of this age, the controversies of this age, keeping ourselves away from controversy so that we ourselves can have peace. Praise God. If we can exercise ourselves as babies to just receive from the Lord, because He's always speaking. He's speaking everywhere. Everything declares His glory. Everything is speaking of the majesty of God. He can speak through a Muslim. He can speak through a Buddha person. He could speak through one of the tele-evangelists. The one that you call a thief or a robber. Praise God. Hallelujah. I am is above all. I am is not of this world. It's not of any group. It's not of any denomination. It's not of any belief. I am is supreme above all. I am is not Hebrew. Said, I am is not Protestant. It's not Baptist. It's not Catholic. Before all these things, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. I am before what you people call Hebrewism. I am above that. This is my creation. This is my world. Everything flows out of me. This is my world for my pleasure. Praise God. So how can I ever associate with anything of this world? I'm not of this world. I'm not New Age. Praise God. I'm not of any, is it what they call it, Christian Science or whatever. I am not Pentecostal. I am not Abrahamite. I simply am. Praise God. Exercise ourselves in I am. Exercise yourself in true liberty and in love. I am not black, I am not white. I am before all, and I live forever. Praise God. All this religion and beliefs that we occupy ourselves with upon the earth all belong to the earth. But I am above all that. Hallelujah. If I exercise myself in the I am, I know that I am above all, perfect. I stand in the place of all blessings. I possess all power in heaven and earth. All things are mine. We have to exercise ourselves once more to speak I am. Walk in it day by day. Hallelujah. It comes by prayer, by fasting. To enter into that stillness. Prayer and by fighting is about exercising ourselves once more in the I am. 40 days in the wilderness. 40 years in the wilderness. All these are examples of prayers and fasting. Moses had to go 40 years. Prayer, fasting, trials. Before he could come face to face with the I am that I am. See, what God was trying to show us was a picture of Moses in the resurrection. That Moses that came back to Egypt with the rod of authority was walking in I am consciousness, walking with the rod of authority with which he will destroy the vessels of clay, destroy the minds that have been, you know, binded to mortality. Hallelujah. Moses was walking allegorically in the power of the resurrection, in newness of life, in I am. See it. The serpent had been lifted up, taken away. No more carnal, no more material, no more earthly, no more religious, no more of this world, but now of an eternal invisible realm. Here with great glory and great power. But he had to go through 40 years exercising himself in godliness, exercising himself in the things that he has heard. This was the same thing with Jesus. Jesus Christ had to go through a 40-day fast. So many people have tried these things over the years. You go on in 40 days fast and you only come back no good. If you go on a 40 days fast, physical fast, 40 literal days, no food, no water, it cannot change you. All those are symbolic. That which will change you is when you go on a spiritual fast, exercising yourself in godliness, in the things of the spirit. As you do this, you know the devil comes to tempt you. What is the devil? It's the carnal mind. It's the serpent. There's all kinds of temptations from all angles, trying either to drag you back, to draw you back into unbelief, to abandon the faith. Trials and temptation. See, but it says that the word of my patience, you keep the word of my patience unto the end, you shall inherit the crown of life. You shall enter into the door into New Jerusalem. Be faithful unto death, and I'll give you the crown of life. Praise God. Faithful unto death, and I'll give you the crown of life. Give you a new name, a new nature. Because you are not denied the I am. You're not denied my name, my eternal name. Rather, you've worked in it and you've labored in it. Exercise yourself in that name. Confess that name even in the place where Satan dwells. Because you have exercised yourself in that name, I will lead you in to the eternal gates into the New Jerusalem. I cause you to sit once more on the throne, ruling and reigning over all. This is the consciousness that we are called to walk in today. It's all by faith. Nothing will happen suddenly. Every man must walk out to salvation with fear and trembling. Learn to say, I am again. Praise God. Learn to walk in the name of the I am. This one comes out by prayers and by fasting. You want stillness, peace, joy. Walk in the Christ that you are. That is your true identity. Confess it patiently. Mix with faith these things you have heard over the years and continue with it. This is your healing. This is your door into a rich realm of abundance. This is your provider, your supplier. Since the Lord will supply all my needs, I will supply all needs. Praise God. This is the way back to God, the all power, the all loving, the all powerful, the omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, everything. It's by exercising ourselves in this truth. Letting go of the beggarly elements of this world. Letting go of the things of this age. Praise God. So in my day-to-day work, I know that I'm not a man. I am that eternal spirit. See it. I might walk, I might appear for a moment as a man, as in a physical body, but this is not my world. I live in eternity. I stand in eternity. I see into eternity. My eyes is focused on that invisible realm. For I know that this present age passes away. It's changed. It's moved. It's shaking. But my world remains unmovable for all eternity. God bless you.
My vows to the Lord I will fulfill in the presence of all His people. For precious is the eyes of the Lord is the sacrifice of love, is the sacrifice of love. How shall I make a return for all the good He has done for me? salvation I will take up. I will call on the name of the Lord. I will call on the name of the Lord. Your servant am I, your handmaid son, consecrated to the Lord. Sacrifice. I will call on the name of the Lord. I will call on the name of the Lord. How shall I make a return? Has done for me. The cup of salvation I will take up. I will call on the name of the Lord. I will call on the name of the Lord. Vows to the Lord I will fulfill in the sacrifice of love.